Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me out and be the biggest little flirt. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, welcome to the Shame Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet. My guest this evening is a fellow sex worker rights activist and a friend of about 20 years. Her name is Maxine Dugan. She's founder of the Erotic Service Providers Union, which is also known as the Erotic Service Providers Legal Education and Research Project. And if you look at your voter's guide this fall and you live in the state of California, you're going to find her name there. And her organization there is representing the only visible no on Proposition 35. We're going to be talking about that tonight. Why would somebody be against Proposition 35, which purports to save victims of human trafficking, and specifically sexual slavery? Kind of seems like a no-brainer. Most of us would say, yeah, I'll vote yes on that. But we're going to go into this topic and find out why she is representing the no vote on this. Just to give a little bit of background about Maxine, she was formed the nonprofit in 2010 after the 2008 attempt to pass Proposition K, which was the San Francisco ballot measure to stop the enforcement of the prostitution laws and bring equal protections to sex workers. It actually received about 41% of the vote, but it didn't pass. And she also started her media career producing radio programs for KTFA, Labor Collective. I think I was actually a guest on that show. And that was on Blog Talk Radio as well. She's got a movie called Legalization Sucks, which is available online at legalizationsucks.com. I remember this movie. It's actually very funny. I hope you'll go check it out. And for those of you who think that what we want to do for the state of California is to bring the Nevada brothel model here, go watch that first, okay? It might change your opinion. And this past summer, the Legal Education and Research Project's ballot argument was picked up by the state to represent the no vote on Proposition 35 in the Voter Information Guide. Maxine has worked as a prostitute for over 22 years. And guess what? She plans on working for another 22 years. Maxine, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. It's great to be here.
Well, I just did an interview earlier today with some station in Boston about prostitution. And I, of course, could not hold back talking to them about Proposition 35, even though Massachusetts doesn't have that on the books right now. But I'm pretty amped up about the election. We've got how many weeks now? Not even four.
Not even 4 weeks left. And I'm glad you talked about it to other places, because you know California is a battleground state, and so we often have these ballot propositions come through here that are sponsored by big money interests, as is the case in Prop 35. And if they pass here, they're going to go on and try to pass them in other states. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned something to them about it.
Well, as you know, but our listeners no doubt do not know, this whole human trafficking thing has been distorted and hijacked by special interest groups. And I'm hoping that we can clear some of that up for the listeners tonight, because it's kind of a complex issue. And, you know, there are a lot of celebrities behind this, like Susan Sarandon and Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, that all these people are getting involved in trying to save people from sexual slavery. And what do you think about that? Do you think that there is a human trafficking problem? And if so, how extensive is it? And what happens when people try to go in and save sex slaves?
Well, it depends on how you define human trafficking. I mean, that's part of the big problem here, is it's this ever-shifting definition. And with the shifting definition, you know, will always depend on who is doing the shifting of the definition and, you know, what are they hoping to get out of shifting the definition. And certainly in Prop 35, the definition of what constitutes a commercial sex act is greatly expanded, and the definition of who is a sex trafficker is also greatly expanded. So between those two expanding definitions, you have virtually anybody doing a sex act, a commercial sex act, because they define it as something that's something of value, that if you're having sex in exchange for something of value, which could be construed to be anything, and then the trafficker would be, of course, the one who is, I mean, there again, they expanded who is a sex trafficker on top of already 12 existing California laws that are already vaguely drafted. So it's just really a bad concoction of definitions, you know, under the guise of rescuing victims. But, you know, yet the victims are going to go to jail too, you know, because that's how it goes. Is you're a defendant in a criminal case and then you magically become a victim. And then, you know, you have to produce a trafficker here, lest you end up going to jail for being a prostitute. And that's kind of the craziness of some of the trafficking rhetoric. And in terms of these celebrities who have come out for, you know, supporting these kinds of, you know, legislations, you know, they're just they just seem to really like the limelight, and they'll do anything to get themselves in the limelight without really understanding how it is that the anti-trafficking laws are being enforced, because there's no law really against anti-trafficking, and so nobody's being arrested for being, you know, a trafficker. What it is that there's already these bad laws that are on the books, and that's what people are being arrested for. They're being arrested for prostitution. They're being arrested for, you know, those kinds of things. And we don't like people being arrested for prostitution. We think people should not be arrested for prostitution, especially if you're trying to rescue human traffic victims.
I think one of the things that we're seeing now, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but we've got so much U.S. money is going everywhere to try to enforce human trafficking, whether it's within the United States borders or if it's in foreign countries. And there's a lot of falsification of numbers in order to get those funds. So I believe, is it the Philippines is having some type of a scandal right now where they falsified documents so that they could get the U.S. funding to fight trafficking, and they didn't actually have the numbers to support it?
Well, there's that story, and then there's the story of another guy who purported himself to, you know, be a member of the FBI and, you know, special op forces, and he concocted a whole story about how his daughter was abducted by traffickers and how he rescued her and was getting all this money from the U.S., you know, to actually, you know, to fight trafficking. And then they found out, oh, you know, he's a total fraud. And so they ended up prosecuting him, which was unusual because, you know, they hardly prosecute anybody for fraud, especially for human trafficking. But the U.S. has allocated a lot of money to these anti-trafficking groups, which in most cases might be doing some good to bring awareness about trafficking, because that's their mandate, is to bring awareness. And that's the mandate when you look at the Prop 35 proponents, is they're bringing awareness. But really what they're bringing are really bad laws, and really what they're bringing are bad anti-prostitution laws. So it doesn't really look like they care that much about traffic victims as much as they care about suppressing prostitution, and they care about suppressing consensual sex. And they care about, you know, taking the already broad federal definitions of trafficking, which don't include adult consensual prostitutes, but it does include minors who are involved in prostitution, whether they're there consensually or not. So the federal definition does have, that's the federal definition of who is a trafficked victim. And then, but they still do the prostitution sting operations. The feds are still doing prostitution sting operations in conjunction with local law enforcement agents. And so we've had reports of workers, sex workers, who were out on out calls and got caught in these kinds of prostitution sting operations where the naked customer was the FBI guy. So we're having taxpayer money go towards paying FBI guys to being naked. Now, we have long known that local law enforcement agents who were enforcing the anti-prostitution laws were always receiving sexual services from prostitutes, or some sort of erotic service, you know, a lap dance or something, and then arresting people for prostitution after they had received the service. So we have that going on as well, and it's just frightening to think that somebody who is involved in prostitution, you know, by force, or, you know, maybe they don't really know what they're doing there, and they end up in one of these prostitution sting operations and having, you know, sexual contact with law enforcement agents because it's legal in California. It's, you know, that kind of entrapment is legal, and it's just frightening to think that, you know, victims are being treated this way, or even adult consensual workers are being treated this way. And then they're being arrested for prostitution, and that's one of the reasons why we both wrote the ballot argument opposing Prop 35, and fortunately we got picked.
Well, and Proposition 35 broadens this definition to such an extent that you could almost make a case for possibly being guilty of human trafficking if you were an 18-year-old boy who took a 17-year-old girl out to the movies and bought her a thing of popcorn. Because it isn't specific. The wording is incredibly vague, and it doesn't have to be cash for sex. It can be any kind of compensation for sex. And then it doesn't really have to be about force or coercion either. And you don't have to know the actual age of the underage, quote-unquote, victim. If you are confused and they presented you with fake ID, you're still going to go to prison for 12 years and have to register as a sex offender for the rest of your life.
Right. I mean, it's just astounding. You know, I'm fielding phone calls all day long from voters across the state of California who are reading their voter information guide and come across Prop 35, and they are reading the ballot arguments for and against. And, you know, what we put in there was that, you know, my son, who served in the U.S. military and is now in college, if he were to receive any money from me as an erotic service provider because now of this new broad definition, so it doesn't even matter if you're, you know, providing commercial sex services as an exotic dancer, or you're, you know, a phone sex operator, or you're not even putting your hands on anybody, but you're contributing your money, you know, towards, you know, a family member or your domestic partner, you know, for household expenses, or, you know, you're paying somebody to answer your phone for you if you're doing outcall escort or something, or paying somebody to do your ads. You know, under this broad law, all those people can now be convicted of being sex traffickers and forced to register as sex offenders because you're sharing your money. You're contributing your money in part or in whole. And, you know, it's just, we just have to wonder how it is that, you know, traffic victims are going to be rescued, or how these kinds of laws that are obviously anti-adult sex laws, they're anti-sex laws, they're anti-prostitution laws, you know, are going to really bring any protection to anybody who actually needs it.
And the way it's written, too, they're actually trying to pull pornographers into this net so that then pornography becomes a form of sex trafficking as well.
Well, it's written so badly and so vaguely, it looks to me like if you do, you know how people do the girly pictures of the, you're putting on the schoolgirl outfits. You know, it's Halloween and everybody gets their outfits, and one of the outfits you always get is the schoolgirl outfit, right? The schoolgirl outfit and the priest, right? You know, you go to the party together, you know. And, you know, that can be a lot of fun adult consensual play that doesn't involve any money, but, you know, just because you are, you know, you could look young. And you take that picture and it's distributed on Facebook, for example. You know, you could be inciting the riot from, you know, from the police now. You know, that they're going to tag you for distributing obscene material. And now that's going to be a, you know, you're going to be a trafficker, a sex trafficker, and have to register as a sex offender for the rest of your life in California.
And so one of the really disturbing things about having people who've never even engaged in sex for money or, you know, worked as a pimp or anything like that, but somebody who is remotely related to the sex industry, tangentially related to it, who wind up being a registered sex offender, is that violent criminals that we want to be able to track, which is what this registry was supposed to be about, are going to be, you know, in there with people who have maybe just committed some kind of a paper crime. You know, they were connected to the sex industry by money only, never forced anybody or raped anybody or put their hands on anybody, and now they're a registered sex offender, so the police cannot sort through and figure out who the dangerous criminals are.
Well, that's one of the big problems with the sex offender registry in general right now in California, is you have people on that registry who may have, you know, drank too much alcohol and then, you know, urinated in public. And so those people are on there. So we already have that problem with our sex offender registry being filled up with nonviolent people. And that creates, it creates a public safety issue when there's, you know, been a violent crime and you look on that registry to see who's in the vicinity, and you have to sit there and sort through all of these people. And two, it scares the public when they see all these people around them, or maybe people they even know, on the sex offender registry for something. And that will greatly expand under Prop 35. And there's no money in Prop 35 to support the expansion of the sex offender registry in that manner, and nor is there any money in Prop 35 to support the procedure that they put in that mandates that people on the sex offender registry will now have to go turn over within 24 hours to the police department all of their screen names and their passwords. You know, if you go and make a comment on, you know, your local newspaper about something that doesn't have anything to do with sex or anything at all, and you create an anonymous pseudonym, if you're on the sex offender registry, you have to go turn that information within 24 hours over to the police, and the police have no means to collect or track that kind of information, and Prop 35 didn't include any means upon which for them to do that. And, you know, and that particular provision is going to be challenged, you know, by people like the ACLU, people like the ACLU who showed up at the hearing in Sacramento on in front of the Public Safety Committee on August 14th. And you can see all the videos on our website on the ESPLERP.org site. And you can see the ACLU guys up there saying, you know, this is unconstitutional. This impinges upon free speech. And it's probably going to be the first thing that's going to be overturned. And the voters are going to have to pay for that court litigation. And
sure,
these are some of the ways that these ballot measures.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute because we've got a caller. Caller, welcome to the Shame Free Zone. What is your name?
Jane.
Well, hi, Jane. Welcome to the Shame Free Zone. What did you have a question for Maxine, or maybe a comment about Proposition 35?
Maxine asked me to call in and talk to you more about what happened to me as a sex worker here. I don't know how long the segment is.
Love to hear about that.
For a start, no one gave me any specific questions. So I guess I'd like to start by saying that you know, the laws are fundamentally unfair. They're actually literally ruining people's lives as they are. Like, the current laws, they're actually seeking out women who are working out, like, independently on their own, by choice, safely, practicing all kinds of safety measures, and still seeking them out, and of age, well over 25.
What happened to you?
I worked as an independent escort for a couple of years on a very popular website, and the cops spent 2 days busting me using a very respected member to clear them. We have a way of clearing each other to keep us safe, and they used that system to set me up and bust me. I lost everything after that. I had an apartment. I was safe in my apartment. I had a car. I had anything a normal adult would have. And it just so happened that I got that through my work. I never saw a lot of people. You know, all the stereotypes that people have about this. Sorry.
How were they able to confiscate your apartment and your car?
They didn't confiscate it. I lost all of my income suddenly. So if you think about it, my apartment by itself was $1,500 a month. I mean, if you think about it, it's $3,000 to $4,000 a month to live in the Bay Area if your apartment's that much. And to lose that income suddenly, well, and also I couldn't stay in the same apartment. I had just been arrested. Yeah. So I had to leave the county, and it was very difficult for me to find a new place after that. I mean, it just wasn't easy. It still isn't easy. So there's a whole lot behind that I could explain, but.
Jane, if you can, for our listeners, clarify something about, it's my understanding was that the.
And there's no way to safely.
Huh? My understanding was that the arrest actually mentioned something about endangerment of children or something like that.
There were no children in the home. There were two cats and a 28-year-old woman in Italian lingerie with an associate's degree.
Uh-huh.
They lied.
So they lied.
There were no children. There were no children. I mean, they weren't. Yeah. I don't have any kids. I don't know any kids. I was an adult, and there were two cats. Right now, I'm in diversion. They're trying to push for, but there were no children. No, they tried to say that they were trying to stop trafficking, and I'm like, trafficking of what? I'm doing this on my own. They tried to push that really bad, and they tried to get me to set up other people, and I refused.
Wow.
Yes, that's what happened.
So one of the things that you're working independently, you're 28 years old, you don't have any children, there's no children in the home, and the police come in, bust you, try to get you to confess to being trafficked and set somebody else up that you don't even work with.
What was worse is they didn't believe that I had been running my own show. They because it was also a racist thing too. That they couldn't believe that I'm African American. They couldn't believe that I was running my own show.
Wow.
Like, I didn't admit to it, but, you know, they just, the whole thing was shocking to me that they went through so much effort to catch me, first of all. Second of all, they lied. Third of all, they were racist.
Yeah, and I'm sure if Proposition 35 can count on more of this.
It's a year and a half later. I still haven't come back from that. Emotionally, no. Financially, definitely not. It's going to take me at least 5 more years to come back to, I mean, for me to have an apartment and a car, I probably have about another year. But, you know, I mean, and really stable, you know, and comfortable with that. But, you know, I probably have, you know, to be like normal, like have savings and stuff, it's going to be another year or two.
Jane, what did they offer you? You said you're in diversion. Did they offer you any services as this imaginary trafficking victim?
No. They took away my income and then told me to go fuck myself. No, I had to figure out how to eat. I had to figure out how to work again. I had to figure out how to go to school. And then the stuff that was on the diversion, I had to figure out and find what to do. So they said that I had to take some sort of, like, AIDS health course or some garbage health type course or something. And they had no programs out there for me to take the class. I had to finagle a CPR class. I had to, like, basically take two turkey legs and put it together and make it like a whole turkey. I had to take a CPR class and a bloodborne pathogen class, and they still may not accept that.
So
and there was no other program that fit my requirements.
If you had lied to the police and told them that you were a trafficking victim and had set up one of your friends as your trafficker, do you think would they have given you money?
Would they have given me money? No. I probably would have gotten my case dismissed immediately. The lady who set me up set up five other girls that summer.
Wow.
And no one believed me when I first told people, because they usually don't do setups like that. But they broke our reference system, which was keeping us safe, which was basically, it's not a good way to keep us safe from the cops, but it does keep us safe from the crazy clients. Definitely. I've never experienced violence. The only violence that I've experienced in my life has been since I've gotten busted and from other friends that I've shared housing with who have been taking advantage of me because of the situation I'm in. That's so fucked up. And I have never experienced violence from a client, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. But have the police ever been violent towards you?
Oh, no. No, they've been rude. They've grabbed my butt. I mean, but no, violent, no.
Hmm.
No. And I've only had, like, a few encounters about it. The most significant one was the one in Marin, because it was a series of based on one anti-trafficking program that they had going that year, where they busted several women in several counties using the same lady.
Well, Jane, you know, hearing it from the trenches, hearing it from you, what it's like to really have to go through this and how the prostitution laws have changed in the state of California and no doubt across the United States, is just chilling for me. It's chilling for me too.
I'm leaving the country. I can't deal with this crap. And even, it doesn't matter. I'm retired, essentially. I can't keep going like this. There's so many things wrong with this country in terms of how they view this. I am making plans that as soon as everything's resolved and I have enough money saved, I'm getting the hell out of here.
I can't
live like a second class citizen hiding like that. Right now I'm using a fake name. I mean, this isn't okay. I was happy with who I was and what I had. I was proud of what I was doing. Believe it or not, actually someone can be proud and at that and good at what they do. I mean, I actually study to do what I do. I take workshops and classes. I have to be damn near a private eye to do what I do in this country. Like, you can't be dumb.
I know that, Jane, and thank you for your courage to tell your story and to share the horrors, really, of this whole human trafficking hysteria that has hit the United States and therefore impacted a lot of the world, actually.
Thank you for listening.
yeah, thank you.
I haven't had much of an opportunity to participate in the anti-35 stuff because of everything that's gone on, so thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I wish you the best, girlfriend. I wish you the best. It wasn't this bad when I was working. It wasn't this bad when I was working.
It wasn't this bad when I started either.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's gotten really bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take care of yourself and good luck. If you decide to move to another country, you gotta keep in touch. Tell us. I have another friend who moved. She moved to Thailand, and I have friends that moved to New Zealand, and so. And they're happier.
yeah, I know. Everything's better. I just keep hearing rumors from all my friends who are actually not sex workers, but who are from Europe or other countries, and they're just like, you would be so happy there. You know, I'm basically out. I'm out. I'm being a martyr. I mean, some people abuse that information. Some people treat me really well because of it, and I don't care anymore. Yeah. People need to know that normal, regular, intelligent people are in this industry who are being hurt by this.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thanks again for calling into the Shame-Free Zone, Jane, and my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
You have a good night.
All right. So, Maxine, do you think that's pretty typical as far as law enforcement writing these cases up involving minors when there's no minor involved?
Well, thanks to Jane coming forward, you know, and getting a look at her police report, it's easy to, you know, to see where they put under motive operandi, they put sex, crimes, and children. So that's what law enforcement are doing, is they're falsely reporting these prostitution cases as rescuing children. And so by inflating those kinds of numbers to the legislators, you know, we wanted the legislators to know about, you know, what was going on, because until Prop 35 came along, you know, quite frankly, you know, it's difficult to get in to speak to legislators, you know, about what's going on with people in our industry, because there's no mechanism to hold the police accountable to the community. Because most people think that prostitution is a low on the totem pole priority in terms of needing police attention. The things that need police's attention are, you know, apparently the priests, you know, who are allowing, you know, sexual abuse of children to occur, you know, under their care. That these are important things. And so when the public hears about prostitution arrests occurring, it makes them upset. It makes them mad because the police are spending their resources on something that they don't think is a high priority. So now you're seeing the police having to morph their reporting to the public in terms of rescuing victims. And so now you're seeing every police report that you see that is involving prostitution always involves the word children somewhere in that press release and in that news article, because the police have to justify what it is that they're doing. And you know, we just want the legislators and the public to know that there are no children involved, as a matter of fact. It's an all-adult consensual behavior. And, you know, the model that we've always advocated for is a model in New Zealand, which is where you have adults who are decriminalized involved in prostitution. So, you know, nobody's getting arrested there. But still, who is remaining criminal are people who purchase any kinds of sexual services from minors. You know, that is still a criminal act in our ideal model. But the minors themselves are not criminalized. They're not being arrested and put in jail under threat of, you know, giving up a trafficker so that they don't go to jail. But the truth for minors is that they're going to go to jail anyway, right? And so under Prop 35, what they're asking for is a bunch of money that's from the new proposed high fees to be able to pay the law enforcement that gets 30% of it, and these anti-prostitution groups who call themselves anti-trafficking groups get 70% of the booty there, right? And so that creates a big financial and political incentive. You know, if you're a law enforcement agency or you're a prosecutor and you want to make a name for yourself because you want to be mobile politically, you want some political, you know, collateral, then what better way to market yourself to the public and say, oh, I have rescued all these children, when in fact really what you've done is you've arrested consensual adults like Jane, you know, who were, you know, providing a great service and harming nobody. And now that she's been arrested, you know, she's been separated from her regular clients. So now she's out there having to, you know, find, you know, some other means that are not part of her regular clients, and that puts her at a lot of risk. So even though you're saying you're trying to save people, you know, those prostitution arrests actually cause a lot of risk to the people involved in the prostitution arrest, and we just think that's just completely wrong.
Well, and there's also a lot of confusion about where the money is going to go. This measure, Proposition 35, would funnel a lot of money through government, but where does it actually go, and what kind of services are going to be provided for trafficking victims? There doesn't really seem to be any real plan in place for that. It's really vague. It sounds like there's probably going to be something of a feeding frenzy for those funds.
Well, I mean, that's so interesting because, you know, it says that under these new high fines and fees that go from what's now in the trafficking laws as $100,000 to $1.5 million. And what's interesting is that the governor just signed a law that was passed by Mark Leno, sponsored by Mark Leno, that said that all the asset forfeitures can go directly and more quickly to victims for restitution, which is something that, you know, everybody agrees with. And so this proposal in Prop 35 that says that the law enforcement agents get 30% of the money and the these nonprofits, these anti-prostitution groups get 70% of the money creates, you know, a big conflict of interest that now these monies, you know, so now the new high fines, if Prop 35 passes, that the new high fines and fees are going to be scuttled into you know, this system here to pay for the salaries of the law enforcement agents and for the salaries of the nonprofit workers to provide services to the victims, but it's unclear what the services are. And it's unclear, you know, what will happen to the opportunities for victims to get the direct restitution, which they're entitled to now. And so, you know, these are some of the problems with these kinds of ballot measures and these kinds of provisions. In fact, that particular provision, I believe, was one of them that was presented in front of the state legislators, along with the provision about the forcing people to be on the sex offender registry to turn over their information, their online login name and password information to the police. And the legislators were just like, no, we're not passing these kinds of laws because the constitutionality of them is very questionable. We don't like, you know, this kind of ballot box budgeting, you know, business where, you know, the state's having to pick up the tab for all the, you know, huge new incarceration, you know, these mandatory, you know, jail terms that the innocent people are going to have to be mandated to while the proponents walk off with all the money, you know. So it's just bad laws, and the state has already, you know, kicked in. So the proponents don't have the burden of bringing before the voters laws that are constitutionally sound or laws that have, you know, a sustainable funding base, right? They
right.
get to get up in front of the voters and make up all these stories about the victims and, you know, people who worked as prostitutes as they were runaway teenagers are now calling themselves traffic victims, and they're working for these nonprofit agencies who, you know, are going to be the recipient of all this money under Prop 35. So there's a lot of conflict of interest here, and it just doesn't make for good government. And it's ultimately not going to serve any traffic victims at the end of the day, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, traffic victims are already being served. You know, they're already, you know, have access to equal protection under the law. Well, they actually even don't. Like prostitutes, if you're involved, if you're somebody who comes into this country with no you don't have any documentation, or you're somebody who is working in the sex industry in some capacity. Say you're even working as a stripper, which is a legal form of sex work, right? Or you're working as an adult
film performer, which is a legal form of sex work. And
I see your phone's cutting in and out a little bit for us, so.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm talking so much. I'm so sorry, but.
I know. You're getting pretty worked up, and I don't blame you. There's a lot on the line here.
Well, there's just nothing. It is. It's frightening to us that this piece of legislation is before the public, that it's being misrepresented, and the things that we need in the legislation aren't even there for us.
That's the thing that's the most egregious here, is that it really is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It really is a lie to the public. And it's just, to me, that is just unforgivable. It's totally unforgivable that Chris Kelly, former exec from Facebook, is really out for a political, bid. And I listened to the radio interview where you were debating him, I think that was NPR. Was it NPR?
It was KQED out of the local NPR station out of San Francisco.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, he said, no, he had no political aspirations at all. But, I mean, he just recently lost to Kamala Harris. So it's hard to imagine why somebody would spend $1.8 million or $1 billion?
He's up to $2.2 million now.
Oh, he's up to $2.2 million, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got nothing to do with his political career. And then the women who are behind the CASE Act, some of them really are, they have suffered a great deal. But it's tantamount to me to pass a law against marriage because there are domestic violence survivors. It's not logical. It's not sane. But as long as you've got this overlay, which says prostitution is wrong and evil and bad, then that's where people go. It's the first sign of any kind of trouble. You know, they don't pass laws against the garment industry because there are people being trafficked in the garment industry. Instead, we ask the people who work in the garment industry to help us find those trafficked.
Well, if you're working in the garment industry and you're working alongside somebody who is a victim of violence, you need to be able to access equal protection under the law. You need to be able to go to the police and make the report of the violence without the threat of any retaliation of losing your job, without the threat of being a victim of violence yourself. But when you work in the sex industry, because of the high negative stigma, you risk a lot when you come forward to make a report of crime. And so do your family members. And so you're constantly having to weigh, if I report this, what's going to be the consequences to me? And that's not a good place for public safety. Because if you have one person in your, community who can't gain access to equal protection, that means you have one perpetrator running loose who is getting away with it, right? And if they get away with it on us, then what? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the fear that this kind of law enforcement can create, the fact that when it's so vague, we don't know what constitutes force, and it doesn't matter if you know whether or not the person is underage, it's no excuse, and there's no leeway for the judge either. To practice some discretion in the sentencing. This is
right.
Really intended to be just as cut and dried. And you had intimated to me that there's actually something before the voters right now about three strikes and you're out, that legislation, which was intended to protect young children from pedophiles, and that was originally where it had come from, has
right.
now been putting hungry people who stole a loaf of bread in prison for the rest of their lives.
Right.
How can we warn voters not to make the same mistake again?
Well, I'm just my phone is ringing off the hook all day long, and it's so interesting because people are asking me about Prop 35, 35, they're asking me, you know, about Prop 34. You know, about, you know, they're asking me about Prop 36. They're asking me about Prop 30. They're asking me about all these propositions. And it's just so interesting. You know, I thought, you know, we should really put together a social justice slate so people know which ballot measures to vote no on and which ones to vote yes on, you know, so we don't have to come back again in, you know, because part of the problem when you pass ballot measures is the only way you can alter them is you have to go back to the ballot.
That's true.
And so that's why, you know, that three strikes, you know, provision is being brought forward.
And I value the democratic process of this country very much, but it's my understanding that ballot measures are notoriously poorly written and
yes.
And often incur a lot of problems in their execution.
Yes. Yes. And this is definitely one of them. You know, this one's going to cost the state a lot of money. One of the things about the sex registry I just read the other day is that there's actually a federal registry. And what's interesting to me about it is that federal registry was passed and promoted by John Walsh, who is the guy who lost his son Adam to a murdering, you know, pedophile type person, a real dangerous person. And he, you know, helped promote this law to get all the states on board with the federal registry. But California and Alaska and a bunch of the other states are not able to comply with this federal law, even though there's grant monies from the federal government to be able to comply. But the cost of complying exceeds what the grant monies from the federal government provides. And one of the reasons for that, in California, we have so many people on our sex registry who are on there for nonviolent offenses. So it just costs so much money to comply. And so when you have these big, huge, broad definitions like you do in Proposition 35, where you're going to greatly expand all these definitions and greatly expand who is going to go on that sex offender registry, the really dangerous people that you really need to be tracking within your community who are moving from state to state are just not going to, you're just not going to be able to do it. You know, there's already a lot of information about the sex offender registry, people who are on there who, you know, can't live anywhere because it's in 2,000 feet of a school. You know, there's nowhere to live in the town that they have been released to on their parole, you know, without living under the bridge. Right.
Oh, I watched a documentary. It's a reality TV show, MTV hosts, which was about these two young men who had sex with an underage girl, it was consensual sex. It was their long-term girlfriend, somebody they'd been with for quite a few years,
mm-hmm.
and had sex before she reached the age of 18. And both of these young men, they're in totally different states, but no violent crime history of any kind. This is the only thing they've ever done in the way of breaking the law, except probably a parking ticket. And they are on the register as sex offenders in one state it was for 10 years, and in another state it was for life. And mm-hmm. they're very actively going before their state legislature trying to get this law changed mm-hmm. because, you know, they really represent the kind of people that nobody ever intended to send to prison and have languish under a sex offender registration for the rest of their lives. I mean, there's almost nobody enforcing these laws who would mm-hmm. not actually have run afoul of them at some time in their life.
Right.
So it's insane and it's ridiculous, and yet they can't find a place to live and nobody wants to employ them. It has devastated their lives. It's absolutely devastated their lives. And I think we're going to see more of that if Proposition 35 passes. there was going to be a whole bunch of test cases. I agree with you. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. It's probably going to be struck down as unconstitutional. But in the interim, I'm just really grieved thinking about the innocent people whose lives are going to be devastated. Yeah, so.
Well, I think that, doing things by the ballot is just, it's really, at the state level, it's just really tricky in trying to get the word out to people about what this ballot measure, you know, is really about. Because when I explain it to voters, when they call me all day long here, you know, you could just hear it in their voice. They're just like, oh, yeah, no, that's not what we want. This is not what we want. And so I think, you know, trying to get your message out is always about money, you know, and not really having a whole lot of money. You know, we didn't even open up a political action committee, you know, for the no on Prop 35, because at the state level, if you don't have millions of dollars to throw at a state ballot measure, you know, there's just no point. You know, there's really no point. You're just left to doing the media, and I'm grateful to be, you know, on your show and to be, you know, speaking out about these this particular ballot measure, because it really infringes upon everybody's, you know, right, and it's just not, it's not the direction that we need to be moving into, you know, help traffic victims, and it's not, it doesn't even have any education piece in it, you know, for heaven's sakes. You know, and that's really where the best money is spent. That's what the research actually shows, is the best money is spent on education. The bad money is spent on, you know, paying for incarceration. You know, the high levels of incarceration and jail time do not really act as a deterrent. They don't, the society does not benefit in any way from all that.
No, because people still have to put food in their face and take care of their children. And this is, you know, when you start attacking employment, it's oftentimes what is the result. You know, we're actually, believe it or not, running out of time here. And this is a perfect opportunity for you to tell our listeners how they can contact you, get involved, and help make sure that everybody votes no on Proposition 35.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go look at the no on Prop 35.info. That's the website for Prop 35, and it's a .info. And also our website as the sponsoring organization is esplerp.org. And, you know, we are receiving donations. I mean, all of our donations go towards our legal track, which is about, you know, bringing a legal challenge in federal court to the anti-prostitution laws. So we always appreciate, you know, some support around that. And, you know, you can just Google us, you know, Google Prop 35, and you can read a bunch of the articles, and you can go on our website and read a bunch of the articles and who's endorsing the no on Prop 35, and, you know, to be able to help share the information, because it's a pretty thick ballot measure to be able to tell somebody, no, don't vote, you know, vote against the human trafficking proposition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But once the truth is out, and hopefully people can use their social media to repost things. So if they go over, don't you have a Facebook page that they can like, and then they can start rebroadcasting your post?
Yeah, there's the opposed Prop 35. You can like page, and the Twitter is at opposed Prop 35.
Fabulous. Well, Maxine, you know, just as a personal thank you to you, I again want to just thank you for your courage and your leadership in taking on Proposition 35. Without you, I don't think it would have happened.
Well, thanks so much for your support.
Proud to support you any way I can.
Once again, to listeners, thank you for joining us in the Shame Free Zone. My guest tonight was Maxine Dugan, founder and president of the Erotic Service Providers Legal Education and Research Project. Please do remember to vote this year, and please do remember to vote no on Proposition 35. Thanks. Good night from the Shame Free Zone.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.